Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building. We got a lot of new players in the building as well, J-Mac. And sometimes that means people are about to lose their jobs, my guy. It's got to be a tough day when you're sitting there watching a draft and you see your position drafted a little bit too high. And you know you're on the fringe. You're just like, Oh, this is gonna be a tough day. This is gonna be a tough week at practice. Because there's some wide receivers taken. I mean, we got a tight end on the board. There's tackles taken, and I think there's question marks with a lot of players at those positions. We'll talk about all that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. J-Mac, how are you, my guy?
Doing good, man. And to your point, you know, talking about the draft, obviously. The Bears picks are in. New guys will be entering the building. Rookie minicamp will be coming up. So, yeah, to your point, yeah, when you see a guy drafted high in your position group, you're like, damn, now I got to compete with this guy. But I know he's a first, second, third round. Usually all the way down to the fourth round, you know those guys are going to be on the team. So you're like, hey, Well, you start counting the numbers and seeing how you fit in. And if you don't feel like you fit in, you say, you know what, I got to go out here in the preseason, make sure I get some good tape. So that way I can possibly end up on another team. But yeah, it's like that every year. You know, if you're a long shot, an undrafted guy, a guy who's on the, you know, lower tier of the roster, you're going to have to go out there and compete every single day. And, you know, these guys know it's not just competing to make this Bears roster, it's competing to make an NFL roster. So at the end of the day, you got to go out there and put your best foot forward, you know, go out there and play your best ball in practice every day, get those preseason reps, and then that'll enable you to have the ability or to have the film, or to have the trade capability to go to another team. So we'll see what happens, man. It's created some good competition on his roster.
Did they ever bring a fullback in a little too high on the draft board? That got you a little nervous when you was playing?
Yeah, well, I mean, fullbacks usually draft them, you know, later rounds or undrafted. But we drafted, you know, a couple fullbacks in the sixth round when I was there. They would always bring a couple in, you know, even with the running backs. Like, you know, we draft the running backs high, but then, you know, even for our running backs who were, you know, not starters, they always brought in some undrafted free agents. So our running back room was always crowded when training camp came around. You know, we always had like, you know, four fullbacks in the room, knowing you're only going to keep one. So at the end of the day, you know, and the tough part is, you know, you build relationships with these guys. They become your friends. And a lot of these guys are still my friends to this day, close friends. But at the same time, you know, we're all competing for one job and there's only one spot. So, you know, it's friendly competition. It brings the best out of each and every one of you. But at the same time, you know, it's only one job. So I got to go out there and make sure I have a good practice, a good meeting, a good lift, good everything every day, because, you know, I know these guys are going to push me to the limits.
You know what, though? And, you know, we didn't pre-talk about this, but it sticks out in my brain, right? You were a part of probably one of the more famous battles in Chicago Bears in the modern era of football here, where, you know, you had T. Jones, who already was an absolute monster on the team and was balling out. And the front office decided they wanted to go younger at the running back position and went out and got Ceddy B. Yeah. And it just never seemed to gel right. Of course, Cedric Benson, who I'm talking about there. Mm-hmm. It never seemed to gel right with everybody in the building. It seemed like, you know, at a certain point, you got to pick a side. How do you keep that from happening here as somebody who went through that? How do you keep it from being, all right, but this my guy, you're not going to replace my guy, I'm going to stick with him, where it is, you know, we all got to work together on this.
It was tough. You know, when T. Jones was here, he was coming off a 1,300-yard season. You know, he'd been producing. And, you know, you bring Seddon, who had all the accolades in college, was a great back in his own right. And then we already had some backs. We had Adrian Peterson was here, too. So it was like, wow, you know, the running game wasn't the issue. You know, we were one of the leading teams in rushing that year in which they drafted Cedric Benson. So it was a little confusion. You know, T. Jones had a lot of respect in the locker room as a leader. And then obviously his production spoke for itself. So a lot of guys looked up to T. Jones, you know, respected him as a leader. He was definitely one of the heartbeats of our team at that point. And then you bring in a young guy with Cedric Benson. You know, it was like you're right. It was almost like, you know, guys were not necessarily picking a side, but guys were confused. And, you know, it was tough. Yeah. But, you know, having the type of leadership that we had in the locker room and the tight bond that we had, I think we were able to overcome that. Now, was it all smooth? Was it a smooth paved road? No. I mean, there was bumps along the way. There was issues. And, you know, guys gotten misunderstandings and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it worked out good because I think those two guys really complemented each other. You know, they would feed off each other. If Thomas was in and Thomas was having a good game, but Cedric got an opportunity to come in and get some carries, you know, he was going all out because he wanted to produce just like T. Jones was producing. So, you know, that year, I think those guys really, you know, helped us out and really complement each other in our run game.
Yeah, we've kind of got that at the top of the draft here, right, with the tight end position. And that's one I really want to dive into to start here. But first, we're going to let you guys know today's episode of Chicago Bears Podcast is brought to you by Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6, right off I-80. 94. I like how you did that. You went from the steering wheel straight into the slot machine. I seen that.
You see that, man? Just a little.
That was good.
Going similar to those cars my way.
Let's start it off with the tight end position, right? Top name on the board. Colston Loveland is taken with the 10th overall pick, right? And it was a position where I think everybody, you kind of accepted that maybe Tyler Warren was coming in. And in the mindset of it, right, you go, okay, well, this probably could be a Cole Kmet replacement. Of course, they could play together, but this feels more like a Cole Kmet replacement. But when I see Colston Loveland, I feel like him and Cole Kmet do very different things.
Yeah,
and
easily.
With how Ben Johnson wants to run 12 personnel, I think that they can coexist together. But when you look at that first pick, do you feel like Colston Loveland could be somebody that has Cole Kmet looking over his shoulder and saying, oh, okay, so they didn't bring in a different tight end, they brought in my replacement?
Nah, not at all. Cole shouldn't be looking over his shoulder. Like you said, it's how this offense is going to be run. It's what they're going to feature in terms of this offense. And 12 personnel will be something they feature a lot. They featured 12 personnel last year a lot, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially there's a variety of ways in terms of usage in which you can use that personnel grouping. And when you have different flavors of tight ends, just like Ben Johnson talked about the different skill sets and flavors of wide receivers, having different body types, different skill sets and traits, it just makes your offense, you know, more creative. It allows you to do more things. And I think, you know, having Colston and Cole, like you mentioned, two different skill sets, I think, you know, Cole's skill set, I would say, is more similar to a Tyler Warren. Now, I'm not saying he's Tyler Warren, because we've seen Tyler Warren at Penn State, you know, run the Wildcat, and he was a former quarterback and stuff like that. I'm just saying in terms of, you know, old school, rugged, tight end, bigger body, that's Cole. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be able to be efficient in the passing game, but he's not going to get that separation and be as dynamic as a Colston Loveland can be in the passing game. I think we look at Colston Loveland like he's like a bigger receiver, and he's what, you know, in this day's NFL, like you look at the tight ends that have had a lot of success. Look at Brock Bowers for the Raiders last year, a guy who's a great tight end that can run the entire route tree, that can get separation, that's almost like a bigger wide receiver. You know, it just gives you an added dimension to your offense when you have somebody that can stretch a defense vertically, but also create mismatches. And you know, it's hard for the defense to dictate to the offense when you're in 12 personnel and you have a guy with the skill set of a Colston Loveland.
Yeah, listen, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Ben Johnson works all of these guys together, because I agree with you, right? I think Colston to me is more of a, almost a third, I guess with Luther Burden, right? A fourth wide receiver that you can have on the field essentially, right? Because the route running that this guy has, and I've said this a couple of times, right? Like, he just always seems to find himself open. It's almost like people lose him or just forget that he's extremely talented. And he just finds himself wide open in the middle of the field and is able to, you know, turn it into a ton of yak. I don't think that is Cole Kmet's game. I would say, and tell me kind of how you feel about this, J-Mac, I would not be surprised if Colston Loveland has a big yardage rookie year, 700-800 yards with one touchdown, because when you get down to that goal line, Cole Kmet probably is going to be the big body that you're throwing the football up to, or you're turning around and handing that football off. Right, unless we're talking about long touchdowns, I would expect him to be a big yardage guy for the Bears, but maybe not a big touchdown guy for the Bears because of how many weapons you'll have on that goal line.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, you know, in terms of, you know, how Coach Johnson and this offense wants to feature, you know, those guys when they're in the red zone. I think that, you know, we've seen Cole's ability to excel in the red zone. Even last year, he did a lot of great things. So, you know, having another piece with Colston Loveland, but then you add in, you talked about Luther Burden, some more of the weapons that they've added in this draft, and the second year of Roma Dunze. There's going to be a lot of talent, you know, and there's only one football. So the good thing is, you know, Caleb, hey, there's no excuses, bro. You know, you got all the pieces and weapons that you need. You know, I can see Colson having a big year, big yardage year, just because of his ability to separate and run routes and be creative in terms of the things he does in the passing game. I think that's still going to translate from Michigan to the NFL. We've seen a tight end last year, Brock Bowers, who had the similar ability, and his skill set translated well out there with the Raiders. So I think that'll definitely translate. I think you got a coach that understands, you know, how to scheme guys open. You know, he's already shown you he's a master at creativity and really understands how to dissect the defense. So I'm excited to see this offense with a new piece, with even more new pieces, but also the second year of Romo Dunze. But it's also, we forget, right? We're talking about all these new guys, but look at the old guys, DJ Moore. Now you're in here with a new offensive coordinator that's had success with receivers in this offense. Like, I think it's going to just the mental makeup of this offensive coordinator and Ben Johnson and this group that they have is going to, I think it's going to help the development of everybody on this offense, and the productivity will take the next step just because of the coaches that you have in the building now.
I would say, J-Mac, the problem Ben Johnson is going to have more with a coach outside of more with being a head coach outside of, you know, getting everyone involved in the playbook and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because listen, I still believe he's going to come in here and be an offensive guru. You're going to get Cole's touches. You're going to get DJ's touches. Depends on the game. The problem he's going to have more is going to be managing, keeping everybody all kumbaya in the building. Yeah. Because there does come a point where it's like, hey, listen, I make my money by getting over 1,000 yards and we got too many mouths to feed here. Yeah. And Ben Johnson utilizes all of his weapons. I think the tough part for him is going to be managing the personalities over going out there and just calling the plays.
Yeah, I think so. But I think he's done a good job of really, if you notice in his press conferences, he always tries to he always gives you a clip, right? He always says something that kinds of sets a standard or sends a message to his players, right? And the most recent one is, what did he say? Hey, receivers, he said, you know, first of all, he talked about if you don't block, you don't get the rock. And a lot of offensive coaches say that. But the one thing that he did say is, he said, I'm more interested in what my guys are doing when they don't have the football. And that's how a lot of tape is evaluated too from these scouts, right? Because even as a running back, we see every running back, it gets to a certain point, everybody can run the football, everybody's talented, right? But what are you doing when you don't have the ball? What are you doing in pass protection? What do you, you know, all the little things that you don't see that aren't going to make the headlines, that aren't going to make the paper, which make you a complete football player. What are you doing to help this offense, to help this team when you're not being featured in terms of having the football in your hands? And I think that sending that message and having the coaches in the building to relay that message, but also having guys who have been coordinators in the league, Eric Bieniemy is going to be huge for him. Not everybody just looks at him as a running back coach, but guess what? He was an offensive coordinator, and he learned from one of the best to ever do it in Andy Reid. So here's another guy in the building that understands expectation and understands, you know, how to, you know, keep an offense on track, to keep an offense together, you know, and so that way you can get the most out of it. And, you know, I think that's not going to be a problem at all, especially when you have a guy.
I was going to say, Bieniemy coming from the best system, right? I mean, he did come from, all right, we got to feed Tyreek. All right, we got to feed Travis. All right, we got to make sure that I think Kareem Hunt was on the team at that point. Yeah. Kareem Hunt's getting involved enough in the run game, right? It was, hey, we got a lot of talent on this team, and we got to manage all of that.
If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm going to Coach Johnson. I'm saying, Coach, can I say something to the offense, you know, in our first offensive meeting? And it's just going to go back to really reiterate his point in terms of what guys are doing and being selfless. And I'm going to bring in my Super Bowl ring. You know, how many Eric Bieniemy got? 1, 2, 3, however many he has, right? I'm bringing those rings in, and I'm holding. And I'm going to say, look, guys, we're going to kill the ego. We're not here to feed your ego. We're going to feed this ring. Because if we kill our ego, right, we kill our ego. We don't feed our ego. We feed this ring, right, togetherness. Who cares? One week it could be Luther. One week it could be Colson. You know, one week it could be DJ. One week it could be Rome. But guess what? At the end of the week, at the end of Super Bowl week, the week that matters, this is what matters. This is what we want to end Super Bowl week with, this right here. So, you know, having a guy who's done it, who's been around, you know, dynamic offenses that had a lot of weapons, that has a dynamic quarterback, and yes, where egos could have easily gotten involved, Yeah, I'm sure there wasn't, it wasn't perfect harmony, but they got it done, and that's why they were, you know, always in the Super Bowl and the playoffs and winning rings and stuff like that. And so,
I think last year showed us, right? It doesn't, you want it to be perfect, but it doesn't have to be perfect harmony with everybody that's in the building. Why? Well, you know, look at AJ Brown last year. He wasn't thrilled with how he was getting utilized as a wide receiver the entire season. And talked about it the entire season.
Yeah.
And was very key to winning a Super Bowl the entire season.
He was thrilled when he got that ring, though.
You know what I mean? Like, this 2019 team is ridiculous. I forgot about how many people was on here. You had Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy, Miko Hardman, Byron Pringle and them on. That's good. That's dope. I didn't know Byron Pringle actually got a ring on that team. You also had Damian Williams as a running back on that team.
Who were all contributors. Had
mouths to feed.
They were all contributors. Damian Williams was really good in the playoffs that year. I mean, they were all contributors, man. And that's the thing. When you – I think it goes back to, right, when you have the belief in a coordinator or a head coach that you know is going to put you in position to succeed as a team, that's going to help you win and help you get to where you want to get to, right? I think the selfishness, you know, it goes, it doesn't go to the forefront because now, you know, look, I don't know, I know I got to play for myself because there's contracts involved, but at the same time, if we're winning and we're producing as a team and we're winning championships, the contracts and the money still going to come. I'm still going to be a hot commodity. You know what I'm saying? So it's a catch 22, I think, you know, do I want to go out and catch 100 balls? Yeah. But at the same time, I can go out there and catch 100 passes and be watching the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
And, right. And it's about, you know, what is your impact on a – are you catching 100 balls or are you in your 86 or 89, whatever it is, you know, are you being impactful? That's really what happened on that Kansas City team, right? Travis Kelce is the only one who ever catches over 100 passes. Tyreek Hill, I don't think once on that team had 100. He might have had one season where he had 100, maybe in the 5,000 passing yard year. But, like, for the most part, he was sub 100 receptions every year or 100 targets every year, right? But he made the most of his targets. He was able to go out there and, all right, bet I got 90. I'm going to put up 8 touchdowns on 90.
His role was to generate explosive plays. You know, he was the big play guy. And I think that, you know, within this system, within this offense, you know, when you have guys that accept their role in terms of, hey, you may not be the lead guy this week or nobody's the lead guy. It doesn't matter. You know, this is offense. You know, the defense will dictate who's going to be the man that week. You know, we're trying to find voids in the defense. Whatever voids we find or whatever advantage we find, we're going to take advantage that week. But everybody's got to be ready each and every play. Because you never know who's going to come open or you never know whose week is going to be. I think that just, you know, when you set that precedence, then I think, you know, if you continue to set that precedence, then, you know, I think you'll limit the amount of issues that you have.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be big for the Bears coming up this season. Somebody else who I think is going to be interesting to watch for, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Braxton Jones is going to be very interesting here because you went out and you drafted a tackle in the second round, Ozzie Trapilo, who I think is possibly a day one starter. We'll see how training camp ends up working out. And Braxton Jones, per Ben Johnson, is going to be starting out training camp limited. So basically he's not going to be out there because you know how it is, J-Mac. It's the it's T-shirts and shorts, right? So if you can't do much out there in T-shirts and shorts, that means it's probably not going to be great for you when pads actually happen.
Don't get me started, man. Don't get me started. You already know how. Don't get me started on that.
We'll see when he's able to get himself out there. But I think here's the big thing for me right now, right? No matter what, it feels like Braxton Jones' job is up for grabs because with Ozzie Trapilo coming in, doesn't mean he has to start day one because Braxton is a starter at this level. If he wins the job, he wins the job. But you've got two guys, one who you drafted both of them high at right tackle right now. One of them is probably moving to left tackle in either Darnell Wright or Ozzie Trapilo.
Yeah.
You're not benching Darnell Wright.
Right.
He's going to be in this starting lineup. And with how Ozzie looks, the question mark is going to be, is his ceiling Or is his floor Braxton Jones' ceiling in the pass block game because Ben Johnson came out and said the number one thing my offensive linemen need to do is pass block. He then went out and also signed a lot of run blocking offensive linemen. But he said the number one thing they need to be able to do is pass block. Is Braxton Jones' job up for grab this coming season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's, you know, when you bring a guy in as early as you did Ozzie, I think it's definitely in question. And with the ability of Darnell Wright to be able to play right and left tackle, you know, I think Braxton Jones would definitely be scratching his head. Like, okay, where do I fit in this puzzle in terms of starting? You know, the linebacker coach from Boston College visited the school yesterday, Dan O'Brien. And I asked him about Ozzie, and he's like, man, you guys got a man. You guys got a grown man. So, you know, and I was excited about that, knowing that, you know, you got a guy, he drafted a guy who can come in here and produce. So, yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how does Braxton come back from this injury? You know, he's still recovering. You know, how does he come back? Where does he fit in this puzzle? But I think it's good that they did draft a guy high in which they gives him some flexibility in which, hey, you know what? If Braxton comes out and he just wins the job, well, we got a young guy who we can develop in terms of depth, who we can count on. You know, you also got a guy who's still an unknown in Karan Amagaji. You know, where does he fit into this equation? A guy who saw a limited amount of action last year, and was he solid in the amount of action he got last year? No, but he didn't have a lot of practice time or training camp time either. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. You know, we'll get a chance to see him, you know, go through an entire offseason and training camp and to really help further his development as well. So it's going to be interesting, man. I think it's good to have, you know, offensive line wise. You know, I think we're in a lot better shape, obviously, than we were last year. Last year, we're still scratching our head at this point. So I think it's head scratching, but it's just head scratching to see where's Darnell Wright end up and where does Ozzie end up, I think, right now.
Yeah. Well, and to me, right, I think the big question right now for Braxton Jones is you've looked at the last 2 years of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be looking around going, okay, they're clearly trying to replace me. Like, it's got to be win the job or bust at this point, because you're in a tough spot where, like, you look at last season, third round, Karan Amagaji, second round this year, Ozzie Tripilo. Like, clearly they're trying to upgrade at the tackle position. And it's not because we think Darnell Wright is the one that's playing subpar. It's because we've seen you in pass pro get run through by players that it doesn't even seem like they should be running through your chest. So I get the, you know, they always come out and they say, we like Braxton Jones. We like what he does. We like the person that he is. And that's great. You've tried to replace him 2 years in a row. Yeah. It didn't work out last season because the guy you brought in was already banged up. Ozzie Tripilo is going to be able to come in here. I think you probably try him out at left tackle first over right and see kind of where you're at initially, but to me, all signs point to if Braxton Jones is on this team, it's probably not as a starter. It is as that depth piece that, listen, I would want to keep him on the team because he has been a starting left tackle in the NFL. Like, that's important. Like, that's something you can't say about Karan Amagaji. He's tried to fill in and tried to figure it out. But if somebody goes down, which it always happens on the offensive line that way, Braxton Jones has been a starting left tackle in the NFL for 3 seasons in a row. He knows what it takes to be a starting left tackle. Is he going to be a step down? Maybe. We'll see when training camp gets here and if he wins the job or doesn't. But if he is, he's a step down still at starting left tackle.
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you look at this offensive line room, you have, you know, obviously you got Tooney, who's got the experience. You got Dalvin that comes, you know, highly touted. You got Jackson, who's been a starter in this league. You know, those are your three free agents. But then, you know, you talk about Darnell Wright, who's been there, who's been a solid, you know, starter since day one as a rookie at right tackle. But now you look at some of the depth, and if, you know, guys can stay healthy. And I don't know, I'm just going to put these guys as backups right now. I'm going to say Ozzie because he's a rookie, you know, right now. So you look at Ozzie. You look at Ryan Bates. You look at Doug Kramer now. You look at Newman, who they drafted later on in the draft, and Karan Amagaji. And, you know, there's more. You got a bunch of guys in that offensive line room who some guys who were here last year on practice squad, you know, some guys that they were injured and they brought back who are going to get a chance to, you know, another year of development under a whole new system as well. So, you know, I think this offseason will be key in terms of development and those guys understanding. You know, this new system could also help guys play better. guys will play better and fit better in different run schemes, a different system as well. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, but I think Braxton is definitely somebody that, you know, should be scratching his head just because of the unknown. You know, what is the plan for Ozzie? What is the plan for Darnell? I think that's really going to determine what's going to happen to Braxton Jones's job.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening in the long run with Braxton. Hopefully, listen, the dream scenario is they all come into camp, they all fight it out, the best man wins the job, and we're sitting, like, I would not be mad at a situation where we're sitting here at the end of it and we're like, oh, well, I guess Braxton Jones is starting left tackle because he's absolutely pancaking Muggs on the left side. Like, I'm not mad at it. I don't care who the starting left tackle is. Keep Caleb upright.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The problem with last season is, and it, look, it does matter, right, chipping and different things that didn't happen with the offensive scheme. But Braxton was going backwards a lot.
Well, the number, I mean, it was 68, right? 68 sacks. 68 sacks. So, I mean, you've got to, I mean, that's the number one goal, this offense first. I'm pretty sure, you know, when Coach Johnson had that offensive coaches meeting, that was a number they talked about a lot, 68. We cannot get our quarterback sacked 68 times, whether it's his fault, O-line's fault, whoever's fault, it's the offense's fault. Our quarterback was on the ground 68 times last year. We got to figure out schematically, you know, in terms of development, in terms of the guys we have on this offense, how to cut that number in half or how to, you know, lower that number, period.
Well, listen, with the kind of quarterback that Caleb Williams is, right, like Pat Mahomes is getting sacked almost 30 times a year, right? It's going to happen. Like, they're moving, they're trying to extend plays. They're going to get wrapped up on certain things. It's going to happen. The sacks are going to happen. He's going to take bad sacks, right? Those things are going to continue. Cut him, like, down to 30. If you get him to 30, you save this man's life. Because there was a – J-Mac, I was laughing about it the other day. We were, like, 2 weeks away from the final game of the season. I think he had, like, 58. Which would have been 14 short of the rookie record. And I was like, he's going to get the record. And somebody was like, there's no way. Yeah. Like, he would have to get 7 sacks a game. And I was like, yeah, we've seen this happen. Like, what are we talking about right now? So, if we can cut down the 9 sack days, J-Mac, we might be in a good position with the quarterback.
We got
one
man.
One thing I do want to talk about outside of just the draft pick, although I guess you could bring one draft pick into it, right? We did take a seventh round running back in this thing, and I think that there's a real opportunity for him to make this team, especially with some of the pass block intangibles that we saw from him in college at Rutgers. But the running back conversation has been loud the last couple of days because the Bears didn't take one earlier in the draft. Seems like there is a connection here between Nick Chubb and the Chicago Bears based on some things that we heard from out of Cleveland the other day. Do you feel like DeAndre Swift's job is in danger of not being there? Or are you kind of in this spot where you're like, oh, Swift's going to be here. They're just trying to find the complementary piece to DeAndre
Swift. Yeah, I think Swift's going to be here. Like I was saying before, you know, even with the draft, like I didn't think Swift's job was really ever in jeopardy. If anything, it's trying to find, you know, that, like you said, that complement. You know what I mean? I think, you know, Swift, when he's had a good offensive line, he's been productive. And he had some productive games last year. I think it's just a matter of, you know, schematically, who was in front of him, he wasn't as productive. You know, he wasn't as consistent last year. So I think he has the traits and the things that, you know, Ben wants his running back to do, him being able to, you know, run on the perimeter in between the tackles, but also being able to, you know, flex out and catch passes out of the backfield. I think DeAndre can do all of those things. I think, you know, they were trying to find a complement to him in the draft, the running back that has maybe a little bit different skill set, to where you can use both of those guys, just like he did with Gibbs and Montgomery over there in Detroit. Obviously, they didn't get that. Every time it looked like they was going to draft the running back, somebody took him before, and then we traded back. But, you know, getting a guy in the seventh round, you know, a guy who has, you know, some good traits, you see some good things on film. But at the end of the day, you know, he's still going to have to come in and prove himself. He's a seventh-round draft pick. So, you know, I think he has a good opportunity when you look at the state of the running back room. You got Ian Wheeler coming back off injury. You know, we got to see how he comes back. You know, can he show some of the flash and some of the things he did last year in training camp and preseason? You look at Roschon Johnson. Can he stay healthy? You know, the one thing is, whatever one of these backs are going to have to be really good on special teams, and the Bears have a good running back that plays special teams in Travis Homer. So, you know, I think it's a room in which, yeah, do I think they'll possibly bring in a free agent or a back or a veteran running back? I think that's a possibility. But I think, guys, you know, all those guys, you talk about Roshan, you talk about Ian Wheeler, even Travis Homer, all those guys should be looking over their shoulder just because, you know, you never know. They didn't get, you know, that top pick in the draft in terms of running back. So they will always be looking, you know, on the streets, on the waiver wire, in free agency, to see what type of backs they can bring in to help improve that room. But I think Swift's going to be one of the backs on this offense. And I think they're just trying to figure out who's going to be the complement to Swift in this offense.
Yeah, look, the big question right now with DeAndre Swift, because he's making $8 million. I think the question is more production than it is he going to be on this team? The Bears aren't getting rid of him for the money that he's making this season anyway. And Ben Johnson has worked with him before. He knows how to use his game to his advantage and stuff like that. So hopefully we see one of the best years of DeAndre Swift, and everything we saw last year was just a mirage. But I do wonder about guys like Rojo, who were supposed to be staples in this offense, according to Ryan Poles. I do wonder about guys like Ian Wheeler, Ian Wheeler probably was going to be practice squad no matter what coming into this season. But you thought leaving training camp last year that he had a real shot. I think Kyle Manunga is going to come in and put a lot of pressure on this running back room, whether they add somebody to it or not. Just because this was a guy who was 5.2 yards per carry in college in a very similar, right? They I seen on Twitter, I talked about it the other day, it was like, you wanted Ashton Jeanty. They drafted Kyle Manunga in the seventh round. That's like, we got Ashton Jeanty at home. You know what I mean? Like, you want McDonald's? No, we got McDonald's at home. We got Ashton Jeanty at home. Like, this young man was 5.2 yards per carry. They're stacking eight in the box against him because nobody was scared of Brandon or Rutgers quarterback, right? Like, he was one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. And I think he's going to come into the NFL and be like, well, I'm still trying to be one of the best that I can out here. And I was a 1,200-yard rusher, and I was able to get into the end zone. So we'll see what the running back room is going to be. But, like, the special team side of it, I think everybody outside of Travis Homer is at a disadvantage because Travis Homer is the all-phase special teamer.
Yeah, and Coach Hightower loves him. And Travis Homer's shown that he makes plays on special teams. He's always one of the guys. Every time, you know, a tackle's a man on special teams, they're calling out Travis Homer with the tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows that's his deal. He knows that's the key to him being on the NFL roster. And he's good at it. And he understands his role. And that's what I'm talking about, understanding your role. So you're talking about a guy like Kyle Manunga to come in here and, yeah, you know, he's going to have to come in and do a lot of different things. You know, this ain't Rutgers. This is the NFL. So all that stuff, 5.2, I understand that. That's what you did in college. What are you going to do here on an NFL stage? Is your game going to translate? And you look at Ian Wheeler, you know, we're talking about Ian Wheeler, but at the same time, you know, you impressed last year. You impressed Coach Morton last year. You got a whole different coach in here in Eric Bieniemy. You got to impress this coaching staff. Because right now, this coaching staff don't know you. This coach staff, they didn't bring you in. Like, you're not one of their guys. They inherited you, and you were hurt last year. So, you know, they're hearing good things about you from the scouts, from Ryan Poles, from the guys who were in the building last year, but they need to see it for themselves and to see, you know, how you're going to fit in this offense. So I think a lot of things are an unknown right now, even at wide receiver. Like, we got to be talking about the receiver position. You look at guys like, I mean, there's a bunch. I mean,
Tyler Scott.
I wrote down the receivers right now. The Bears probably keep, what, five or six receivers? I mean, you got Zacchaeus, you got Tyler Scott, you got Duvernay, you got Miles Boykin. These are just the guys who they had already, like Samari Toure, John Jackson. But then the guys who are going to be on the team, all right, let's go. DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Luther Burden. And then after that, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You're keeping Duvernay because of punt return ability.
Duvernay, Zacchaeus has experience. You brought in Zacchaeus in free agency.
You're keeping Zacchaeus.
There's a lot of guys that have experience. Miles Boykin, he's got experience. Samari Toure has experience.
Listen, I mean, Jay, it's going to be a battle. The name that we said, we was like watching that draft when you saw Luther Burden come across the screen. T. Scott Hart had to go, oof.
Yeah.
All right, I got to turn it on next year. Because, listen, like, he didn't get an opportunity to show, and he showed out. I think, listen, you come in, you have a training camp like you did last year. The Bears are going to want to keep T. Scott around. He had a phenomenal training camp, and they just really didn't utilize him at all on anything offensive during the season. I think he had one target and one catch.
Yeah.
But it had to be, okay, like, I am at the bottom because the second round pick is definitely going to get love over me. I get it. Ryan drafted me, but in the fourth round, and Zacchaeus has the experience already.
Yeah.
DuVernay's got the kick return ability already. We know Roman DJ not going nowhere. Oh, by the way, the tight end you drafted also is basically a wide receiver. Like, yeah. Where do you find yourself on this roster? T. Scott was the one that I thought about, and I was like, oh, he's not going to get the shot that maybe he thought he was going to get coming into this season.
If you're a receiver on this roster, right, the first, obviously got to win over the head coach, right, and really, you know, go to bat for you to be on this team. But the people, there's two people you really got to win over. One, Antoine Randuel, your position coach. And then Coach Hightower, special teams. Because if you're not DuVernay, if you're not one of the lead returners, you better be running down there on kickoff. You better be out there on punt as a gunner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you better find a way.
T. Scott made a nice play as a gunner last year, too. He hit old boy. I think it was in that Packer game he hit old boy. So he got a little experience.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That was last year, though. This is this year. New staff. Last year, hey, so what have you done for me lately? We know this is a new staff, new regime. Yeah, you got the same special teams coach, which is good for T. Scott because he knows what you can do, and he's one of the reasons why you remained on this roster last year. But at the same time, the head man is different. Your wide receiver coach is different. So you got to prove to Randuel that you are a fit in this new system that they're running in terms of your wide receiver coach, who's going to go to bat for you if you are a fit and if he wants you to coach Johnson. But you also got to show them that you have the ability to be, like we've seen Tyler Scott be a returner. We've seen him run down on kickoff. Like, he's got to continue to do all of those things at an elite level if he wants to try to find a spot on this roster. Because it's going to be tough. I mean, you got some veterans in this group now, you know, who have some experience in the NFL, who played. You got Boykins, who's with the Ravens. Like I said, you got Samari Toure. I mean, there's a bunch of guys on this roster now in terms of receivers. So it's a lot different from what we've seen in the past. But you got some guys that can really contribute and have a chance to really make this team.
Listen, we know the one thing about the NFL is that they're going to go out there and try and get as cheap as possible at every position that you can, right? You're always trying to save money. Is there a conversation to be had that the Luther Burden selection in that wide receiver room was to make it possible in the future to move on from DJ Moore, because very similar in some of the things that they do?
Yeah, I don't think it was a shot. I just think, you know, it was like, wow, like, we got Luther Burden sitting there, a guy that's dynamic, a guy that has a lot of the traits that we're looking for in this new offensive scheme, a guy that we feel is a fit and come in and contribute. So, you know, I think it's a plus having DJ, but like you said, they do have similar skill sets in terms of, you know, ability after the catch. You know, they're almost like running backs when that ball's in their hand after they make that catch. So it's just bringing in a bunch of different guys with different skill sets that can go out there and make plays for you. So, you know, I know right now Ben Johnson and Antoine Randuel are just excited, because when you look at the dynamic of this offense, even just compared to last year, like, you're like, damn, like, this is completely different. You know what I mean? Like, it's completely
the trenches for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the roster from last year and put it up against this year, it's, I mean, completely different. Like, we got to give Ryan some credit, give Paul some credit. I mean, it's completely different in terms of building the trenches through free agency. Yes, I know we got the one tackle, and then we got the other guy they drafted later on in the draft, but
yeah, I mean, Newman, yeah.
You got Newman later in the draft, just but
a mammoth human being. Jeez, Ryan Poles. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the offensive line type has not changed in Chicago. They like giants on their offensive lines.
You need movers, man. And I ain't talking about furniture. We're moving people.
Yeah, I need people movers, dog. Right. I need them people moving.
Right.
Hey, man, I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially coming into the season, what the Bears are going to do, who's going to make this roster. Dare I say, J-Mac, to quote Ryan Poles from last season, which makes us chuckle, this team may actually be hard to make. It's going to be a tough roster to make this year, especially with some of the battles that they got going on. So we'll see what ends up happening in the long run. But as always, man, let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Do you think that there's anyone on this roster who might be time to you don't got to pack your bags yet, but maybe just have some boxes ready. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Bed Don, one love. Peace.